Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you this morning. And joining me on the line is Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. Mr. Schmidt, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning, Kyle. I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, sir, lots of things going on around the state of Kansas. Of course, the COVID-19 is the big thing. And unfortunately, even during times when people are coming together to help out, there are unfortunately some people that are still trying to take advantage of the situation, as there have been several scams going on around the state involving COVID-19.
Sadly, that's true. We partnered with the U.S. Attorney's Office for Kansas, the chief federal prosecutor, early on after the state of emergency was declared. And we've been working very closely with federal authorities, particularly the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, with our office and local law enforcement, following up on reports of scams and ripoffs related to the current emergency. And, you know, unfortunately, the full range of human creativity has been brought to bear by some of these guys who want to make a quick buck off the suffering of other people. We've seen everything from straight up thefts with a deceptive front, websites or other solicitations saying if you want to buy X, whether it's masks or cleaners or other things that people might be particularly anxious to get a hold of right now because they've been in great demand and relatively short supply, and you send your money in and nothing comes back. They're just fly-by-night operators. We've seen others where the bad guys have set up some type of bogus product, and so you send your money and back comes something, but it turns out it's not at all what you thought you were going to get, or it's a knockoff or something similar. We've seen some fake charities scams. I think these may be some of the worst of all, where the bad guys set up a bogus charity and claim to be raising money to help out somebody in need in this time, whether it's people in New York or first responders or healthcare workers or the surviving families of victims of the pandemic. And, of course, it turns out not to be true at all. Purely fly by night, and your money goes away, does no good except to line the pockets of the bad guys. So we've been really focused on these, and I think you're going to see a significant number of prosecutions come out of this when the dust settles. I'm not sure if that's good news, but it's, I suppose, the right thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like you're saying, human creativity at this point, it's not the good type of creativity where people are setting these things up. Another thing that has been going on, unfortunately, as well, I don't know if it's been as widespread, but price gouging due to short supply of things. People have started price gouging things as well.
This is a little different issue. Kansas has an anti-price gouging law. It's actually called the profiteering from disaster law. It's the term in the Kansas statute. And it's rarely invoked. It's been on the books since right after the 9/11 terror attacks. It was enacted in 2002 by the legislature. But it only is in effect during a time of declared emergency. And, of course, currently we have both the federal and the state emergency declared. They're more widespread than any prior emergency statewide. They're more intrusive in terms of the types of things that both federal and the state government are asking or requiring citizens to do as a result of the emergency, and they're longer lasting. We don't ordinarily have emergencies. You have a flood or a tornado, the emergency lasts for a relatively finite period. With this pandemic, it's lasting much longer, and it's in some sense indefinite. We don't know where we're all headed. None of us knows for sure. And because of all that, there have been substantial disruptions in the marketplace, the delivery systems for many products that aren't the result of bad actors. They're just a result of shifting demand, and the supply chains had to readapt in order to keep up. Things like hand sanitizer, things like cleaning supplies, things like PPE for personal protective equipment for professionals who need that for whatever purpose, whether they're first responders or otherwise. Or things like toilet paper has gotten a lot of attention because of the relatively short supply on the consumer side of that marketplace. And so, you know, we get lots of reports under this price gouging statute. My gosh, my fill in the blank, one of those products is now two or three times as costly as it used to be, and still I can't get it. We got, actually yesterday, we just got our 300, we just broke 300 on the number of price gouging complaints that have been filed with our office over the last 4 weeks. And we're running them all down. Many of them turn out there is no illegal activity. Nobody's making a quick buck. It's just the way the market works right now. In other cases, it turns out that what's happening is at the store, the person that our consumer has interaction with, they're not doing anything wrong. They're just passing through higher costs from their supplier without any additional markup. And so we have to go up the supply chain to figure out whether this is just an economics issue, supply and demand, or whether somebody further up the supply chain really is deliberately manipulating that market to try to make money off the current crisis in a way that's illegal. And so we're doing all of those things, and it's kept our folks really very busy. I have to say, I put in a little plug for our staff, but you know, the Kansas Attorney General's office, like every state agency, is under instructions to run at very lean throttle right now. We're using only a skeleton crew in the office, many people working remotely. We have a few people quarantined, not because we have anybody confirmed with the virus, but because they've had contact in the course of their work or otherwise, and so they have to self-quarantine for 14 days to be sure they don't develop symptoms. And despite all of that, our team has done a very good job of sort of shifting over and keeping up on these things that are really urgent right now.
And it sounds like your office is doing a fantastic job, sir. We're talking to Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt here, right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Another thing that wanted everybody to know, and you actually put this out yesterday, that the Kansas State Victim Service services are still available even during this time of the COVID-19.
It's an important message. This week happens to be National Crime Victims Rights Week. We recognize it every year. Ordinarily in Kansas, the governor and I jointly host a Crime Victims Rights Conference. It was scheduled to have been in Wichita this year, and unfortunately, of course, had to be canceled like all larger gatherings. But instead of that, we did want to remind folks as part of Crime Victims Rights Week that those victim support services that whether it's domestic violence victims or child abuse victims or other victims of violent crime that they would ordinarily rely on if they become a victim, they are still operating. Even though literally the front door, the physical door of state agencies might be closed or local agencies, the phone lines, the communications methods, they're still being answered. People who need help can still call the crisis hotlines and get a live person on the other end and get assistance. They can still call 911 if it's, you know, an emergency. And we wanted to remind people of that because there's something very, for me at least, concerning going on. There's every reason to think that during this time when, because of the virus, we're all locked down and many people have lost their jobs, there's tremendous strain and disruption on many, many Kansans. There's every reason to believe that, for example, instances of domestic abuse or child abuse are not going to go down. It may, in fact, go up because of additional strain. The academic literature suggests that. The professionals all suggest that's likely. Anecdotally, it appears to be true. And yet, at the same time, the number of calls for assistance to the crisis hotlines have plummeted over the past 4 weeks. And we fear what's going on is that in a time when domestic violence or child abuse or other violent acts that create victims of violent crime are flat or going up because of the current strain, people are less likely to reach out for help on behalf of victims. Maybe that's because an abuser and the person being abused are now stuck in the same house 24/7, and it's impossible or very difficult for the victim to get access to a phone to make the call without the abuser being right there. Maybe it's because a child who might have been abused anyway, but is no longer in school or is no longer out in the community, and therefore people who might be able to spot signs of abuse and intervene and report that aren't able to spot those signs of abuse and intervene or report. We don't know exactly why, although some of those common sense theories seem to make sense, but the bottom line is the help and support for crime victims is still there. It is still operating. It is not locked down or shut down. We really remind people, if you need that help or know someone who does, please contact those numbers, call those hotlines, and reach out for assistance.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking to Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. And Mr. Schmidt, the last thing I kind of wanted to go over with you was, of course, there was the big to-do about Laura Kelly's executive order basically banning religious gatherings. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on that, because that was a big thing where, you know, she originally put it out. It was struck down by a committee. It was upheld, but then it's been kind of suspended right now. And just kind of want to get your thoughts on that, because it's been a pretty big thing going on right now.
I think you got to keep this in context. First, everybody, myself included, everybody in a position of any sort of governmental authority that I'm aware of is on the same page on the message and the advice, which is don't gather in groups right now for any purpose if you can possibly avoid it. And that includes church. I mean, my family skipped all of the Holy Week services where we normally would have been going. I know most people did that. Churches were closed. And that's the way it should have been. That's the right public health advice. But just because that's the right thing to do, it's the safe thing to do, it's the advisable thing to do, you might even say it's the moral thing to do because you're looking out for your neighbor, that does not mean that it's lawful for the government to say it's a crime if you do something different, and you may be subject to arrest or imprisonment, which is exactly what the governor's executive order does. Now, keep this in context. Governor Kelly, it has done a fine job, and especially early on in this crisis, did a fine job. It, like everybody, it's gotten a bit more difficult as time has passed. But you know, she's issued now, I think it's a little over 20 executive orders to respond to different aspects of this crisis. And we have and continue to work very closely on all of those. She runs those by us in draft form. We offer suggestions. She usually takes those suggestions, and I think together we've avoided a lot of legal problems or other problems for the state and its citizens. But we've had one significant disagreement, and it's over the scope of her authority to, by executive order, say it is a crime for people to gather in groups of more than 10 for the purpose of worship. Our advice from the very beginning, very quietly, we didn't go out and tell the world about this, but we told the governor's team, our advice was, don't go there. It's not necessary to threaten criminal prosecution because the vast majority of churches are already following this advice, as are synagogues, mosques, temples all over the state. You're not going to gain anything by this additional threat, and you're going to present some significant First Amendment or state religious freedom law issues that just don't need to be presented and fought over right now. But for whatever reason, the governor didn't take that advice. She didn't have to. She's the governor. She proceeded. I told her before she did, Governor, if you do what you feel like you have to do, I'm going to have to do what I think I have to do, which is I've got to advise law enforcement in Kansas, you guys really need to check with your own legal counsel before you start enforcing this. Don't go arresting people for gathering at church, because if you misstep, you may put your agency, your local taxpayers, at significant risk of a federal civil rights lawsuit. There's a real issue here, so double check, use caution. So she did, I did, then the legislature jumped in, and of course, as soon as that happens, things tend to escalate. Then you had the fight between the governor and the legislature, and the Supreme Court sorted that out. And then, unfortunately, turns out we were right in our advice that, caution was advisable because a small group of churches then filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the governor, and the federal district judge preliminarily has blocked the governor's order in part. I don't know where that all ends up. And I know this is all down in the weeds, but the bottom line is I think it is unfortunate that this was avoidable. The state didn't avoid it. Now it's in the headlines. The reality is everybody's actually quite well together on about 99% of the items we're doing. So it'll all get sorted out. Courts will make their decision and everybody will move on.
Well, Mr. Schmidt, I appreciate you coming on today, talking about lots of different items, including the big one there at the end. And I appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to talking to you again next month.
All right. Now, thank you very much. Take care, be safe, and stay home.